All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to an absolutely electric episode of Canucks Conversation. Folks, the trade deadline is here a few days early, it would seem. My name is Dave Quadrelli. Patrick Johnson joins me as he turns down his phone volume.
Yeah, that was good stuff, wasn't it?
I told you, though. I told you how we operate here. Patrick, thank you so much.
You didn't tell me to turn down my phone. You told me to turn down my computer.
I told you on Monday. I'm thinking in my head. I tell you once, you remember it. You got kids.
No, it doesn't work that way. Okay. No, yeah, you have kids. Yeah, they remember every. Yeah, you said it once.
You never have
the
to
only
repeat
things
anything.
They remember. The only things they remember is the thing you said offhand 4 days ago. That wasn't really that serious. And then what you said, yeah, one day maybe you'll know.
Okay, so the trade deadline's here very early. Logan Van Dyke had something in the
rugby
chat
sevens.
Here. Yeah.
Well, first of all, Logan, there's been a tournament since what you're talking about, but you're right. Canadian women finished third overall in the Vancouver Sevens 10 days ago. Great performance. Really exciting stuff. I'm going to say medal contenders in Paris this summer.
Who am I to disagree?
You really shouldn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't. In the Rugby Sevens, we were talking about it a lot, and I hope everybody had a good time. Seemed like it was a really good time. I loved some of the costumes out there. It was great. Great to see. Okay, NHL trade deadline has come early. We're going to break it all down. But before that, I need to tell you that Canucks Conversation is brought to you by the 2023 Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X is Toyota's brand new all-electric SUV that is designed to go the distance for you and your family. The BZ4X is packed with Toyota's coolest tech, but it still has that trusty SUV feel you know and love. And even though it's electric, it's capable of effortlessly conquering any terrain. Whether it's rain, snow, mud, or your friend's questionable post-game recaps, the BZ4X will get you through. And of course, we're coming to you from the iconic Wall Center in downtown Vancouver. Looking for your next meeting space? Contact the Wall Center for all your event needs at sales@wallcenter.com. Okay, Frank Saravalli is going to join us later, and of course, we're going to talk to him about everything related to PHWA. Because we've got the PHWA chapter chair for Vancouver sitting here, and of course, the president of the PHWA, Frank Saravalli.
Media policy, yeah.
A lot of trades this morning, and it has been a busy, busy Wednesday. We haven't seen Jake Guentzel moved yet, but there was that report out of Pittsburgh that the Penguins would prefer to move Guentzel before Thursday. So we will see if this podcast is quickly outdated for people. Of course, we have a lot of people watching live, love to see it. But I'm curious who Guentzel's going to end up with, because we see the Edmonton Oilers today making their trade for Adam Henrique and Sam Carrick. Oilers seem done after that. Like, I don't think the Oilers are going to go out and get Jake Guentzel. On top of that, the Florida Panthers go out and get Vladimir Tarasenko for a couple mid-round picks. That's the one I want to start with. Did the price tag at all surprise you there? Because to me, it kind of seems like there might be a market deficiency with kind of those middle six right. wingers rather than those bona fide top six wingers, where we're hearing reports that a guy like Jake Guentzel might be a little bit too expensive for teams liking.
Well, I mean, the thing with Guentzel at the same time is like that cap hit is difficult for, I mean, for a lot of teams. Obviously, it's difficult for the Canucks, maybe the most difficult for the Canucks. I think that's where the price kind of comes in. It's like, what can you bear? Like, what can you bring in? I'll put it right off the top. I'm very skeptical that that happens here. Obviously, I talked to Jim Rutherford this morning. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not going to talk names. But, you know, the point that he made to me being that, you know, in general, in the past, his idea is to take your big swing early. You know, that stuck with me. But yeah, in terms of, you know, you never say never. And as Jim said himself, you don't make predictions because you never know what the last 6 to 12 hours before the deadline are going to look like. Even with the big deals happening today, stuff's in motion and things can change and we'll see what happens. I'm just not sure. Cause like you said, the price is there, you know, Pittsburgh's going to hold firm. I mean, they're going to look and say, okay, listen, Vlad Tarasenko wanted to pretty clearly go one place. Like, he didn't want to go to Edmonton. He didn't want to go anywhere else. His family is in Fort Lauderdale. In the end, Florida's like, great, here's what we'll offer you.
Yeah.
A guy like Jake Guentzel is going to be like, I want to go play for a winning team. I want to go win a Stanley Cup. Where's that going to lead to him? And that changes the dynamic of the whole thing.
Unfortunately, Frank Cervalli also reported today that Sidney Crosby is going to sign an extension in Pittsburgh. Could be one of those deals that happens kind of on July 1st as soon as they're able to. The dream might be dead, but not yet. The dream is not dead yet. Trade deadline still has to happen. So, hey. Maybe
I mean, it's like the Sedin situation. Like, realistically, are you going to come and say, like, we're going to send you somewhere else so you can do us a favor? I mean, I get it. Like, there is that notion maybe you would do it, but I think if you're just the kid, you're saying, listen, I've had a pretty good career. I've won the Stanley Cup several times. I'm not chasing that same dream. He wants to play in the Olympics, it sounds like. The equation for him is just different.
It is different. But like we said on the other show, you weren't here for real talk. One thing I'm hoping Sidney considers is that he hasn't met me and I haven't gotten to cover him in my career and I'd really like to.
Yeah.
Was that the key
with Petey? Is that why Petey stayed?
That's exactly it. He knew that if he went somewhere else, nobody would ask him about a stick flex I do.
Stick flex.
Zoomer, talk about Call of Duty.
Zoomer questions.
Yeah, Call of Duty, yeah. FIFA.
Yeah. I you have that on me.
That's right.
It's true.
Yeah. Okay. Was there more trades? There was more that I wanted to get to. I should have them up.
Dave.
Well, I know. It's just such a busy...
There's been a lot going on.
It has. It's been such a busy week. And I mean, look, like obviously today's very busy. And I think the main one that... I don't even call it the main one. Because obviously Mantha. There was Mantha yesterday after we went off air. That one, the Vegas Golden Knights get Anthony Mantha from the Washington Capitals for a second round pick and a fourth round pick. Again, one of those kind of middle six guys, but a guy that's capable of producing in the playoffs and scoring 20 plus goals in the regular season.
A guy that I found him really interesting, the real upside pickup. Like, he's not going to hurt you and maybe he actually becomes really good for you. And so I was surprised a little bit that really, I mean, I think of that second, that fourth round pick as so there's not a lot of value in those picks anymore. So it's really for like a second round pick.
Yes.
And that's the thing. Okay, I guess, you know, I mean, you're getting Vegas' second round pick, which is going to be like 60, you know, 58, which is pretty good, but it's not like it's sort of top end of the round. So I was a bit surprised that was the price, but
I look at that as a comparable for Tyler Toffoli.
Yeah, personally. I think that's not bad.
Like, I think
Toffoli's a better player.
Like, yes.
I think Toffoli two-way and he's got better hands. But
and
like, Mantha
played with Elias Pettersson.
And he's played, yeah, but Mantha's, like, don't get me wrong, Mantha's a good player and does
absolutely
a lot of things well.
Yeah. I do think that that is the comparable cost. Like when you're looking at what it would take to get Jake Guentzel to Vancouver, you're looking at a totally different stratosphere.
Well, because they're, different caliber of player, different quality of player. And I mean, counterbalanced by that price point. I think that's the only thing in all of this, like I said, that the Guentzel price point, like trying to get, if you can, the amount of retention you have to go for, and of course the Canucks would require help to get them as things stand, unless somehow they're able to flip, you know, Ilya Mikheyev or somebody else. I mean, that's why there was all this noise about maybe the Lindholm move. But again, like I said, I look at where our discussion was, my discussion with Rutherford this morning, and, you know, to me, I see him talk about the centers that they have, You know, they don't know about Lindholm beyond the season, but right now for a team that's going to the playoffs, like they're feeling pretty strong about having him as their third center.
Hmm.
And you know, I think it was Dhaliwal basically saying like, I don't think he fits as a winger. The Canucks don't think that. And I think that's the conclusion I've arrived at too. You look at the list, you put Bluegrass number four, like they like that part of the lineup. They do want to find number six, top six winger. We know that, but that's going to be hard.
I keep thinking about P.S. Suter. Because, like, that's a guy. Sorry?
What about him?
Well, I mean, he's a center, and he's not playing center.
Yeah, but
you didn't give up a first.
He's pretty good as a winger. Like, of the guys they have, he's shown to be, like, yes, a very, very, has, very capable winger.
I think he's been a good steadying force on some lines, but I like him more in the bottom six than I do the top six. Sure. So, like,
yeah, in an ideal world, you're upgrading over him, and you're putting him as, you know, onto, I mean, realistically, maybe he ends up on your fourth line. But, like, I get what you're saying, but... Here we are.
Fourth line's just been so abysmal that I'm looking at it and saying, like,
yeah.
You can have the luxury of P.S. Suter on your fourth line, like, your fourth line becomes really good again, just like it was when Nils Höglander was on it. Frank Cervelli is going to join us in a matter of moments. I'm trying to make sure that we don't miss anything. Okay, I just got a text from Frank. He says he's going to be a few minutes late. So let's talk about your call with Jim Rutherford today. Obviously, you gave an update on Vasily Podkolzin, who was sent down to the AHL this morning, a paper transaction.
Paperwork, yeah. They definitely... You know, basically said, listen, we wanted to see Baines. Originally, I asked Jim a month ago, said, what's going to happen? What's your thing with Podkolzin? He said, I think probably playoffs. And so seeing him come up was a bit of a surprise, but what clearly has become here, they had a window of opportunity with Joshua being hurt. They needed to try some other wingers out. They wanted to see what they had in Baines. They wanted to see what they had in Podkolzin. They seem pretty comfortable with both. They know that both are going to be options, certainly coming up back up for the playoffs. But they feel good about that. I think the overall feeling was Podkolzin did a really good job. And at this point, it's really about sort of shaking out what your ideal roster is going to be, keeping everybody playing, obviously winning and fighting position for the Stanley Cup playoffs. But, you know, they have to think a little. They want to keep their AHL squad happy. Like, this is an organizational thing, right? Like, you don't treat your AHL team as a dumping ground.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's part of what's going on here is it's a chance to basically reward some of those guys and then also give them a chance to keep playing. For there are guys on that team that you, even though they're not going to play in the NHL, like you need to be positive and give them a feeling of that they matter. Like that was something our pal Cam Charon, you know, like last year, I think talked up when he was not with the Penguins.
Yeah.
But you know, he would talk a lot about the Marlies and the value that the Leafs placed in their minor league organization.
Yes.
And that's definitely a philosophy that we've seen from from Rutherford and his group,
right? Yeah,
that they brought over from Pittsburgh, that everybody in this organization matters, right? Like I go back to that conversation I had with Ryan Johnson 2 years ago, right after like maybe a month, I think it was less than a month after Bruce Boudreau had been hired and the Abbotsford Canucks, you know, that was the Omicron like shutdown, like stopped.
Yeah.
Well, and the Abbotsford had a huge breakout of their own and they were supposed to play all these games and, you know, obviously affected the whole organization. They brought the taxi squad back and all these things. And I remember mentioning to Ryan Johnson that I'd had this conversation with Boudreau and asked Boudreau a little bit. And he goes, you know, I'm really worried about those guys. And he said all these things. And I said to Ryan, I said this to Ryan. And Ryan was like, that's really nice to know people are paying attention. And they're, you know, you could sort of read between the lines from before, but that is where this organization is that everybody's part of that coherent whole. So Podkolzin, he's going to be back. They're pretty happy he played. You know, there's potential heel still here. I don't think he's a guy. I don't get the sense now he's a trade chip in the next couple of days. Like, I think this is a player that they want because they look. That's the other thing. I asked Rutherford. I said, listen, that Pedersen signing last week, did that change your plan for this week at all? Like, was that an effect? And he goes, no, but it changed our long-term plan, which is they now know that it's going to be him and Miller, right? Like, it's him and Miller era. They know that much. So they have to build around that. Where can they find efficiencies? You know, so, you know, year or two from now, they want to see Lekari Mäki in the lineup. You know, they want to see Tom Olander in the lineup. Like, those guys matter. Those guys on cheap contracts. Realistically, Podkolzin should be part of that equation because he's still on a relatively cheap contract. They obviously would love to see a player like him turn into a true star. But right now, he's efficient. He's playing, you know, they want him to play well, and he doesn't cost a lot of money.
Do the Canucks sign Phil Kessel before Friday?
It's very clear. I asked, and Jim was very careful on this one and they've been careful about it the whole time and from the start it's been clear to me that this was sort of a plan C, that if they couldn't get, you know, one or two other things done, they would do that as kind of a failsafe. So my guess is no. I'm gonna say no, I don't think it happens, but I'm prepared to be wrong.
Jason Zucker is another name that we saw thrown out there. I don't think I brought him up yet. No. Rick Dhaliwal and Chris Johnson both bringing up Zucker as kind of one of these fallback options. Mm-hmm. If Phil Kessel's plan C, then that second tier that I was just talking about where the price isn't nearly as much as Jake Gensel, who you'd assume is plan A, your plan B has to be like a Tyler Toffoli or Zucker if Toffoli's not available. And that's something we're going to talk to Frank about because the Devils still might try to sign him is what we're hearing, but I don't know what to make of this.
I almost put Toffoli in the same bracket as Gensel, just in terms of price and quality.
Do you think he'll go, like, and I know you're not saying that he will go for the same cost as Gensel. No, I know that's not what you're saying.
I think he's more expensive. He's clearly more expensive than, I think he's more expensive than a guy like Tarasenko or a guy like Zucker.
I think he's closer, and I mean, we'll see, but I think he's closer to being in that Zucker, Tarasenko range, and Tarasenko's above Zucker, I'd say. I think he's closer to being in that range than he is being in the Gensel range.
Yeah. Well, especially on that contract too, right? Like 4.25 is it's pretty good value for a guy that can, you know, 25, 30 goals.
Yeah. You got retention in there too. Potentially like there's going to be value in there. Okay.
That's kind of what that's what I meant. Was like, cause he's not as big a cap hit as Gensel.
Fair enough. I'm curious now what Frank's going to tell us because there's a lot of stuff going on. And the fact that he's late tells me that he might be on the phone with someone, might be on the phone with the GM. And that's the best part of our, and I'll plug it right now. Our daily face-off.
Is he trading you?
No, he's not allowed to do that.
No?
He tried three times.
Okay.
Our daily face-off live show is live on Friday on the Daily Face-Off YouTube channel. But also, did you catch this? The Game TV or Game Plus Network. And I know I should have this written down somewhere, but I just saw it and I got very excited. It's really cool. We're going to be streaming right on the Game Plus Network, which is like on your TVs. I think that's really cool. I'm really excited to see our show on TV. I mean, I always stream it, but our show is really good. The Daily Faceoff live show, 9 a.m. Grady's got something.
Well, I was just going to say, Quads, you're going from a YouTube star to a TV star.
That's right.
I don't think we can keep your ego in check here.
Like, no, that's been evident.
Just explode.
That's been evident for years. Goodness. Years.
Dave, I don't know. I don't know if we get Game TV Plus at Rogers Arena where most of us are going to be set up. So.
Oh, they do. They do.
Okay.
He'll find a way to make it
happen. Let Carl know how to get it on the screen there.
That's right.
Puts it on the Jumbotron.
Live streaming. Okay. I got to tell you that this segment was brought to you by the Wendy's Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool game. Wendy's is letting you win real food with your fantasy teams this year and the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool game. For those of you who smoke the competition, Wendy's is rewarding you with weekly prizes that will have you winning. Download the Wendy's app and score yourself 150 bonus reward points for your first order and grab a sweet victory from the mouthwatering jaws of defeat along with some fresh, never frozen beef. Sign up to play Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool to win weekly prizes like the spicy chicken sandwich from Wendy's and the Wendy's app.
I can see why Quaz was talking about Wendy's in the car the other day.
I love me some Wendy's.
My new thing is Wendy's.
This
is not a paid spot.
No, it's not. I told you that on our car ride. My new thing is Wendy's. I'll be honest. I don't have a Wendy's super close to me, but now I've kind of worked in the detour to Wendy's on my way home from
you
work.
Have multiple McDonald's near you.
I do. I have like four McDonald's right near me, but Wendy's. I'm really digging the Wendy's lately.
Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah, we're less.
Okay. Are you a baconator or a chicken sandwich guy? PJ.
Oh, PJ.
I know what you are.
No, chicken sandwich, man. Baconator's too much. Yeah. I get why people are interested, but it's too much.
Yeah. I haven't even looked at the chat.
There's so many comments in the chat.
Yeah, I know. We've got
The guys are just answering each other's questions.
I know. It's great.
They don't even need us.
There's well over 200 people in our YouTube
and
live.
Shout out to our Twitter audience today. Over 1,000 people watching.
Logan, right, I'm all over. Logan Van Dyke, I'm all over all ad reads. I generally try to compliment people because ad reads are tough. Like, you gotta get it out clean. There's often information you haven't seen before. All right, fine.
I'm just gonna say.
All right, I'm not giving you free. I'm not giving you any more feedback.
If you know how to read, you can do an ad read.
Quads, you'd be surprised.
No, I'm just joking.
No, but it's all about the cadence, the emphasis, clarity, on certain words.
Are you guys saying I'm great at them?
You went to journalism school. You didn't go to broadcasting school, okay?
No, I went. That's you the thing about me. No, I did go to broadcasting
school. He's not a bum like you
I've
and me.
Spoken about this before. I was like, I want to do journalism. I want to do writing. And it was Rick Dhaliwal that told me. He's like, you're not going to be able to make it in the industry.
Listen. Gotta go to BCIT.
Well, he also told me I had to go up north, which I was like, I don't know about that.
You gotta work. These kids.
No, but he told me. He was like, look, if you can't.
Don Taylor.
If you can't.
Put in your time.
If you can't do radio stuff, go get good at radio stuff. So
that's true.
I went to school and got marginally better at it.
Patty,
so
Patty, listen. Listen.
Listen, Patty.
I'm telling you. These guys.
Grady, did you say we have over 1,000 viewers on Twitter?
Yeah.
Since when?
That's awesome.
It's deadline season, man. People are hungry.
People want to know.
Great.
People want to know.
They saw PJ's face pop up and they just had to get on.
Well, I really got to ramp up the effort now.
PJ effect.
Okay, I don't know where Frank is. So let's get to the game recap. We got to talk about last night's game, Patrick. Let's talk about this game.
Can I just answer? Oh, no, sorry. Go ahead.
Pull out a 2-1 victory over the LA Kings in overtime, where the LA Kings couldn't play their 1-3-1 neutral zone trap. Okay, so I was watching this game with my girlfriend and she's been watching a lot of hockey and she's like, wait, why aren't they forechecking? And I was like, that is a great question. I had to explain to her what a 1-3-1 neutral zone trap is. And she's like, well, that's dumb. Why would the Canucks even skate into them? I was like, well,
there's nowhere
they
to
have
go.
To do that. And then end of the game, Quinn Hughes stands there and she goes, look, he gets it. He knows not to skate into it. And I was very proud at that point, but that was a very boring game. And again, we talk about how there's two more games against the LA Kings before the season's over. And very likely, or likely, there's a chance that the Canucks end up facing the Kings in a playoff round. And that's the thing. You know, people say this, and I know the Kings are boring. I know they're boring, but there's a reason they've gotten to where they are with the goaltending that they have. And when I look at a playoff series, I always say who has the better goaltender. And the Canucks obviously would have the better goaltender in that series. But the Kings also know how to cover for their lack of an elite goaltender.
Yeah, and I think there's a reason why. I think the Kings are sniffing around. I early on the season, someone pointed out to me that they're just like, there's no way they're going to go through the whole season with Talbot as their goalie. And I think that's why they've been sniffing around. You wonder, I mean, obviously there's been lots of noise about Markstrom going to New Jersey, but you wonder, like I thought early on, I was like, would LA be, I kind of wonder if they're that. Or, you know, maybe we'll ask Frank about what the St. Louis Blues are going to do.
Frank's tweeting right now about the busy. Blues. He's tweeting.
Is he really?
He is.
He's updated his trade board.
Yeah, he's tweeting.
He's ready to rock.
I know.
He's updated his trade board.
We'll continue talking about the game against the Kings. But
I just want to say why they're interested. Maybe a guy like Jordan Binnington. So
that's a good point.
Anyway.
That's a good point.
Frank's tweeting. He's updated his trade board. I don't see him tweeting.
No, he
tweeted. Oh, yeah, he is dead.
He's got a million things going on.
He's
cut him some
on
slack.
Top of
retain
it.
Up to half on Pavel Buchnevich. I know what we're going to talk about now.
I do. There's a lot to talk about, and it is all brought to you by our friends at Greta Bar YVR. March 10th is Mario Day. Get it? Mar 10, right? It spells out Mario. At all Greta locations, Edmonton, Calgary, and Vancouver. Dive into the ultimate Mario Day celebration with our thrilling tournament on March 10th. Get ready to put your gaming skills to the test in a single elimination showdown for the chance to win a grand prize of $1,000 cash. Whether you're a seasoned Mario expert or just love a good challenge, this event is perfect for gamers of all levels. Join us at Greta Bar YVR for an action-packed afternoon filled with nostalgia, competition, and plenty of fun. Secure your spot in the tournament by purchasing tickets online for just $20 or grab yours at the door for $25. Plus, enjoy our special $5.50 Regretta pricing on drinks all day long, adding an extra level of enjoyment to your gaming experience. Tickets include house beer, Greta Burger, and entry into the tournament with a game card. The tournament starts at 4 p.m. sharp, so make sure you head on down to Greta Bar YVR.
Thanks for not calling it Mario, by the way. Sakaris called him Mario today.
People who call it Mario,
come on.
That's so off-putting. I know so many people that do that, too.
Well, because they're thinking of a different location that we don't have.
It's a me, a Mario.
Yeah. He doesn't say it's a me, Mario. Anyways, let's get to Frank Cervoli. Frank, you a big Mario Kart guy?
Yeah, but I shamefully call him Mario.
Oh, why, Frank?
Mario Lemieux. He's not Mario.
No, he is Mario Lemieux.
I think he's Mario Lemieux.
No, I think it's mispronounced. No, that is not a real name. Nope. Anyways.
Green jacket, gold jacket. Who gives a shit?
Hey, Frank.
Aren't you of Italian descent, Frank? Do you know any Marios?
I'm actually in the process of getting my Italian passport, believe it or not.
So he can say what he wants.
I hope
Quads.
They don't ask you to pronounce that name. I hope they don't ask you to pronounce that name on the citizenship test. Or not citizenship test. You know what I'm saying. Okay, Frank, we got busy stuff. We're busy today. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Trade deadline has arrived a little bit early here. What are you hearing? Obviously, we've got your new trade targets board. Pavel Buchnevich, a lot of different names on your trade targets board. What are you hearing right now?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the fun part about a day like today with a ton of bullets flying. You try and figure out what's next. And, you know, certainly the Pavel Buchnevich situation is fascinating to me. I just think there's a lot of reticence in the market in general to spend big on players who are rentals. And look, we see it every year where teams dive in and pay the price. And then when they don't win because only one is left standing, inevitably they feel a ton of buyer's remorse. And that's where I think Buchnevich is so fascinating. The Blues are in an ultimate position of power. They've got the premier non-rental forward available on the market, with all due respect to Riley Smith, a point per game player over these last three seasons, and someone that I think when push comes to shove, the Blues know are not going to be extending beyond this current contract and paying $8 million a year. They don't have to move him now, but I'm told that they're asking for three essentially first round pick equivalents in order to make this Buchnevich deal happen at a retained number, which sounds like a lot, but he could really be one of those players that not just helps put you over the top this year, but then is re-signed next year at $2.9 million. I mean, that's a really attractive price.
Yeah, certainly a name that I thought of a while ago, and you look at names around that might interest the Canucks. I'm not sure there is a fit given that price, given everything we know the Canucks have, but that makes sense to me. We were talking about the Blues before you just came on, and I was thinking about in reference to the Kings, actually looking at their goalie situation. Do you think there's any chance Jordan Binnington's going anywhere?
I don't. As well as he's played this year, I think still that contract is a pretty difficult one to move, Patty. So I don't, but I did add Linus Ullmark at the very end of my trade targets board. He's number 49. I think it's a real long shot, which is why he's indicated that low on the board. I think you have to at least allow for the possibility of it, though, because there has been so much talk. I know the New Jersey Devils are one of the teams that's inquired. And really the situation with Boston is they just don't have very many assets. And if you are a team that is trying to create value for someone to trade, Ullmark is one way to do it. Now, I think, again, long shot because they've had the best tandem in the league, and it's a big reason why they've been able to buoy this season based off of where they were last year, despite the pieces they lost. The goaltending is the common thread there, and they've been consistently excellent. And when you have two guys in Ullmark and Swayman that get along as well as they do, I mean, to me, I'd be looking at that situation and trying to hang on to it for as long as I can. But Swayman is also due a new contract for next season, and I believe discussions are well underway. They may not be able to afford everyone. It's just, would you like to do it now, or would you potentially like to address this in the summer?
Frank, I heard Sidney Crosby's not coming to Vancouver. Did I read it correctly that you reported they're going to sign an extension as soon as possible?
I think that's the intention. I wouldn't report that as fact. I would say that that's certainly been the talk behind the scenes, is that Crosby wants to end his career as a Penguin. He's said and done all the right things. I mean, honestly, what else would he say? But I do think that both franchise and franchise centerpiece and one of the NHL's Mount Rushmore players probably of all time is on track to do that this summer.
So there's still a chance is all I heard there. That's all I heard. Frank, with the Canucks and the trade deadline approaching on Friday, we've heard names. We've heard Tyler Toffoli. We've heard Jake Guentzel. We've heard Elias Lindholm to Boston, all these other rumors. What do you expect from the Canucks in the days leading up to the deadline here?
I don't know. I'm just being abundantly obvious, and I think it's okay to say that sometimes. I think they've really kept tabs on the Guentzel situation. The latest that I've heard is that Pittsburgh seems to be pretty confident that they can extract a significant return. That's from one of the teams that has made a real pitch from Guentzel that doesn't think they're going to get him. Now, I don't know where that is, what it ends up looking like. Is it Vancouver? I've always thought since the Lindholm trade, the way I'm reading the Canucks is such that they made a significant acquisition. They want to do more. They don't really want to dip into their prospect pool of the sort of top, you know, A-level guys that are on the way. Lekera Mäki, Willander. I would probably include the other Pettersson in there as well. Pretty close. They don't want to move those guys. And I've sort of always viewed it as they're going to continue to tinker around the edges. But it also is in Jim Rutherford's playbook that if something hasn't worked, cut bait. That said, my evaluation of the situation relative to Lindholm is I don't know how much Lindholm has struggled and how much just the team has really hit their first speed bump of the season coinciding with his arrival. That part is tough to suss out. And I wouldn't handicap one way or the other what happens next.
Do you think there's any chance that Guentzel doesn't end up somewhere else?
Meaning stays in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, they deal a bunch of other stuff and they decide to extend him.
I can't envision that path. Someone asked me the same thing about Noah Hanifin an hour ago. Right. Will the Flames just go back to him and try and get a deal done? My head would explode if that were the case. I think there's been so much frustration and friction with how this process has been handled with Hanifin. I think Guentzel is beyond frustrated that he hasn't even talked extension with the Penguins. Like they have not made one negotiating pitch, let alone an offer. And I think that part has driven him crazy, and understandably so after 8 years at the level he's played at. But to me, all that does is signal the ultimate end result here.
How about Tyler Toffoli? Any chance he extends in New Jersey? Like we've seen all of the, oh, we might keep him, we might not. Like what's going on with Tyler Toffoli, do you think?
I still think it's more likely than not that he moves. I think the Devils are really wary of committing significant term to someone of his age. And I do think that there was sort of, amid all of what happened today, a pretty significant flurry and or lots of talk about Toffoli. I don't think he's going to end up there, but I do think Colorado was interested. And I think it's fascinating to me that Colorado hasn't traded their 2024 first round pick. Today's pick that moved was 2025. So I would be surprised if Colorado ended up hanging on to this year's pick based on how aggressive they've been in flipping stuff around. And I think today was a sort of master class from Chris McFarland in terms of making roster changes, a significant real hockey deal. And also being able to unload that Johansson contract. Like you could make the argument that Johansson alone, they should have had to deal a first round pick to get rid of him. They sent one, but it was to get Sean Walker back too, who in his own right, I think is worth a second. So somewhere in that 30 pick spread between second and first, they were able to essentially move $8 million, $10 million in real cash, a lot of money in terms of Johansson going to Philly, which I don't know what the end game there is for the Flyers.
You just look at how Colorado set up their cap and they still have space. You can just see that spot sitting in their forward lineup where they could add a winger, a Guentzel or a Toffoli type player.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're really well positioned, and my big concern, Patty, about the Avs was that absent Nichushkin, absent Landeskog, who both of them are seemingly pretty likely to be back in the playoffs, this team looked to be really thin. Nathan MacKinnon's having his best season ever, and to me, didn't have the proper support structure. Now you've got a you know, 50 to 75 point player, I think upside wise in Mittelstadt that you plug in there that could be your second line center for, you know, the next 8 years, and you've swapped out your defense core a little bit. I don't think Walker is nearly as good as Bo and Byram when they're at their best, but he also doesn't have the concussion history, and he doesn't have, you know, he's a couple years older, but doesn't have significant wear on his tires either. So I think it's been a really intriguing day for the Avalanche. And, you know, I'm just fascinated to see Edmonton. They've got powder left. If you want to in Van, you could make something happen. Colorado still first round pick. The New York Rangers still have their first round pick. Like, there was a lot that happened today and still a lot more to come.
Of what's happened today, Frank, and I know the deadline's still 2 days away. People can find you on the Daily Faceoff Trade Deadline Show, which goes 9 a.m. Pacific, if I'm correct about that.
8 a.m. Pacific.
8 a.m. Pacific. I should know that.
They said there would be no math.
They said there would be no math. I'm likely going to make an appearance on that show. Hopefully the Canucks do something on the day. Oh, come on.
We'll see.
We'll see.
If the Canucks don't do anything, we're not calling you.
Fair enough. Yeah, you would not want me talking about other teams. The question I have for you, Frank, is about other teams. Of the trades that have been made today, who has won the day so far?
Ooh.
Is it Colorado?
I would lean toward that right now, yes. I'd have to think about it a bit more. But, yeah, they're in a pretty good spot. I think they've significantly improved, and I think they haven't, by relative comparison, haven't given up a ton to do it.
The one team we haven't mentioned, I think, really too much is Vegas. I mean, what do you think Vegas is going to do from here?
Well, that's another team I should have added into the mix of teams that have done stuff already. Vegas still has $4+ million left, and also another team in the mix that still has their first round pick. So, I mean, I look at them and I like, I would say almost every team that I just named, if you're sitting there watching the market, you go, wait, Buchnevich, non-rental, and they're going to retain half? Like, they're all going, yes, yes, tell me more.
I love it. Frank, people are going to find you on Friday. Going to be a good trade deadline. I'm still confident. Even with these trades, it's still going to be a great trade deadline. It's going to be a great trade deadline show over on the Daily Faceoff YouTube channel on Game Plus TV. We're back on TV.
I don't make the news. I just report it.
There you go. Frank, good stuff as always. Thanks for doing this.
See you guys.
And that was Frank Cervelli, who, as I said a few times there, you can find on Friday on the Daily Faceoff Trade Deadline Show. They always do a great job over there on the Daily Faceoff YouTube channel. So be sure to check them out. And like I said, Game Plus TV as well.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, here, let's get to the win over the Kings. We got to finish our recap of that, Patrick.
You're interrupted.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Exactly. Yeah, Frank was a little late today. It's okay. It's busy, busy time for him. But we got to tell you that this recap of last night's game is a presentation of our friends at Four Winds Brewing, family owned and operated in Delta, home to the Four Winds Light Lager, a crisp, clean, and easy drinking beer, a beer for everyone, a perfect beer for before, after, or during the game, a perfect beer for the trade deadline. I know we've got some here. Ask for Four Winds Light Lager at your local liquor store or have some delivered to your front door through the online shop at fourwindsbrewing.ca. I also hear they deliver to back doors. I don't know why I always say front door. My read doesn't say front door. So maybe ad reads are hard after all. Okay. Last night's game, I think a few key things. The Canucks stars came out. JT Miller came out. Elias Pettersson came out. Elias Pettersson obviously opens the scoring with that nice move. Drew Doughty still looking for his pants. Thatcher Demko was fantastic in that game. I think he was, again, when you look at that game against Boston, that comeback that the Canucks had against Boston, I said it back then as well. He is the reason they were able to make that comeback. There was that chance for Pavel Zacha in the third period of that game when the Canucks were similar to how they did against the Kings, just hemming the Kings in their own end. But then the Kings got a chance, just like the Bruins got a chance with about 8 minutes left. Thatcher Demko makes a very key save in Boston. Against Boston, it was on Pavel Zacha. Against LA, I can't remember exactly who it was off of, but he did make a big save and it was vital to them coming back and ultimately winning the game in overtime.
Turcotte.
Yes, that was it. Alex Turcotte.
Thanks
still
for watching the game, Dave.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't take notes.
Listen, it wasn't a perfect performance, but it was pretty good. There was, you think about the way that game progressed. Actually, I think basically till like the Canucks goal, you know, credit to them for coming back on a team that's very hard to come back against. That was some of what happened last week. I mean, the Canucks were not very good last week, but the game was there even after they gave up the opening goal last week. The game was there to come back. And they let it get away. And last night, they didn't let the game get away. They kept pressing. In fact, we're controlling much of the play. Get the Pettersson goal. I don't think we're just put the foot off the gas, but they didn't quite maintain the same kind of level of control. And obviously, early in the third, they gave up those two-on-ones, which was not a great thing to happen. But that's why you got Thatcher Demko. That is why they have been where they are most of the season. They've been getting the goaltending and they've been getting the goals. And last night they got the goals. The power play in the end delivered on the 4-on-3. They finally delivered in that scenario. That was a big win. And I thought a lot about sort of team confidence, team mentality. There was something that got mentioned a few places. I know they mentioned Hockey Night in Canada, but a couple other places, you know, how the Pettersson situation was affecting not just him, but starting to affect, you know, his teammates who are kind of trying to figure out what's going on. What is the future of this team going to look like? And they put that to bed and that's not there anymore. And everyone knows they know this team. This is Pettersson's team. This is Miller's team. They know it's going to work. There's a commitment all around now. And so that's a load off everyone and they can get back to being who they are. And, you know, obviously they're professionals and people, but like in the end, we all deal with stuff in our own lives when we're trying to get through anything. And when you're trying to focus on hockey and you have this thing hanging around is what's going on with this guy, you may not be conscious of it, but it's in there. And so I thought what we saw last night was very much a return to the team that had been so successful, especially after Christmas. Cause you know, you think of that window through January, how strong their game was, you know, they were playing well, they were getting on their staples, right? Like that strong two-way play, a lot of that happening. We saw that last night, smart decisions on the puck. Not a lot of wasted sort of efforts, opportunities, things like that, trying to sort of grind down and not getting frustrated. Cause certainly that's what happened last week against LA, right? Cam Talbot talked about it post game, that there was a level of frustration that the Kings saw in the Canucks last week that I think clearly wasn't there last night.
That's a really good way to look at it. Because when I look at that 5-1 loss, obviously the Canucks weren't good in that game, but the style LA plays, it's very obvious. They are sitting back. They are waiting for you to make the mistake. And as soon as you make that mistake, they are going to convert on their chances. The Canucks limited the mistakes last night. Obviously, look, the one goal LA scored, there was a flurry of mistakes. Yeah. Quinn Hughes fails to get the puck up the boards. Filip Hronek then fails to get the puck out of his feet. JT Miller doesn't take the man. Brock Besser maybe could have taken the man, noticing that JT Miller wasn't taking the man. But that's how that first goal progressed. It was compounding mistakes. And how much have we heard Rick Tocchet say that's what they have to avoid? If you make a mistake, cover up. cover up for the person that made the mistake. Too many mistakes on that first goal. And of course, LA pounced. But I thought after that, the Canucks got back to their staples and started to play that mistake-free hockey that we see. Or, you know, I don't want to say mistake-free. You make a mistake and it's covered for.
That's why this, you know, in the end, it's why you practice these things. You get it right the first time, right? Like, don't be sorry. Just don't make the mistake, right? And you know, when you have compounding errors, exactly as you said, like, one person's job is to cover this guy. If he doesn't execute, you know, it
now
really
it becomes someone else's,
it's somebody else's problem. But then that becomes, you know, there's a cascade effect. And the whole point of what I think Tocchet has been trying to press home since he first arrived, and they've been working on and building on and building on, is exactly that. And you know, so we saw those scoring opportunities late in the game. That was a little bit of the same story. Some bad reads, right? Like, guys got bailed out, but you don't want to keep doing that, especially not against a team like LA, against a team like Edmonton, against a team like Vegas, the potential opponents that you might be facing in the playoffs. I mean, certainly you're gonna have to play at least one of those teams.
Yep.
And, you know, if you win a first round, you're gonna play one of those teams in the second
Absolutely.
Round. Because, I mean, just as a side note, that is a reminder, by the way, those competition of why you want to finish first overall in the Western Conference, because there is that outside chance that the eighth seed, that second, you'll get the second wild card, which may not be from your division. And, you know, no one is gonna be easy in these playoffs, but I think of those three opponents, you'd rather not have any of them in the first round.
All right. Grady, you got to fact check this. Knucklehead might be trolling in the chat, but he said Kiprios just reported that there's smoke around Crosby moving to Colorado. I don't want that to be true. Vancouver. Got to be Vancouver. Grady, you go take a look at that.
Yeah, he said it on 650. He's had a couple people call him.
Interesting.
So. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't know about that.
Two calls from people not in the know.
I mean, if there was a team.
Not in the know?
That's what Buck Faustin says.
I talked to my mom this morning. She didn't have any takes about Crosby.
If there was a team to acquire him, though, it would be Colorado. You would at least think.
What about Vancouver? We've had this. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. I'll drop it.
What about Pedersen for Crosby?
No. That's the thing. Here's my plan, Grady. And this will resonate a lot with some of our audience. The plan: get rid of all the bad players, get good players.
Quad's plan.
That's how a lot of fans look at the sport.
Oh, look out, staff of Canucks Army.
Okay.
Where
are we? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Did you have anything else about the game before we get to anyone else?
Okay. So, sorry. No, what he said was, Pull it up. No, Kipper, I've had two people today call me and say there's smoke with Crosby trade to Colorado. Dubas has tried hard to sign him, but it hasn't worked.
He can't sign him.
I don't know.
He can't sign him.
This is the problem with aggregators, is that
this doesn't make sense.
They rarely get the context and quotes correct.
Or
they don't credit. Don't get me started on that.
If we had Kiprios on.
Nasty's been talking about it.
Yeah, but that's just Paul.
Hey, he got some stuff right.
He did.
He had Babcock right.
He nailed it.
Give the guy credit.
But then also his podcast, Matt Murley, said Pedersen and Nylander were ended up in Chicago.
Yeah.
So. Mikheyev for Crosby. Brian Choi with a good trade.
Done.
Do it.
Okay. Done. I accept that trade. Okay. Let's get to... Did you have anything on the Kings game before we get to anyone else?
No, I've said what I need.
Let's get to anyone else. We've got a lot of people in the Twitter and Facebook chats. Grady's going to be keeping an eye on those. Get your anyone else's in, folks, because it is time for anyone else presented by DoorDash.
Karn giving you incredible shout out. You couldn't even get his name right. Karn Versation saying Quads played 5D chess.
That's right. You're supposed to say Ding Dong.
Ding dong.
It's our listeners' chance to get involved and hit us up in the YouTube live chat. And it's also our listeners' chance. You were here on Monday.
I know, but
to get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download the DoorDash app and enter code NATION25. That's all capital letters, NATION, and the numbers 25. Offer valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms, of course, do apply. With Double Dash on DoorDash, you can order from multiple restaurants or stores in the same delivery without additional delivery fees, so everyone can get what they want and need. How beneficial would that be for you? Has that ever happened with your family where you're like, okay, well, I want this, but then the girls are like, I want this?
No, we don't let them do that yet. This is what we're getting.
That's good parenting advice. I'm gonna have to talk to you about that later.
Every once in a while you do have to make something different for dinner at home, but once we've decided what we're ordering that, and that's it.
Not one day Double Dash is going to come in super handy for you.
That's what's for dinner. Oh, we mean, we did briefly have you, you know, during the pandemic. Early in the pandemic, Quads was a great delivery driver.
That's right. Yeah.
Very good. Especially when we needed.
Taught me how to do my taxes.
Taught him how to do his taxes.
That was great.
Brought me cheesies.
Yeah, that's right. Those are for your kids. But anyways, let's get to anyone else here. Let's see what people are saying in the chat. Okay, here we go. Brian Choi. Do you see the Canucks moving any of their three non-Hughes left-handed defensemen to address another position of need. One thing we didn't talk about is how good Carson Soucy was last night.
Yeah.
So this is a good question from Brian, because you have Carson Soucy. Yeah. I'm going to say no, you don't move anything out. I just don't think the Canucks are going to add to their defense depth ahead of the deadline. I don't think it's, I have said this all week, I don't think they're going to make a trade for a defenseman. I also don't think they're going to move anybody out. I thought Carson Soucy was spectacular.
I do think they might want to get one more defenseman. I just think that, because right now your number eight is Mark Friedman. You know, that's why I think people mentioned like Chad Ruedel. We've talked about him before. Maybe he'd be a guy that, you know, you bring in as your number eight. There's a lot of kind of the same kind of guy in that bottom kind of however many rotation you want to talk about. You know, do they want a puck moving, a guy that can maybe puck move the puck a little bit, mm-hmm. but obviously you're kind of talking luxuries at that point. I think in the end it's that top six winger. If they can find a way to do that. I still feel like it may not be someone we've talked a lot about. I don't have a name specifically, but obviously there's the big names. I'm not sure any of the big names are going to happen, but I do think there's a small chance beyond that top six winger they find some kind of depth defenseman, because Jim Rutherford has always traded for depth defenseman at the deadline. That's the one thing you know he has done.
Matt and Blake kicked around the name David Savard
right
today. 3.5, he's got a couple of years left.
Yeah.
Absolutely rifled one off the stanchion last
yeah,
night.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I know they were mentioning that one. I just, the Savard to me just seems, the profile isn't quite there. I mean, obviously you're going to have to give up something. You're not going to be able to get young, cheap, good, you know, mm-hmm. like one of those things is not going to be there.
I've been beating the Ruedel drum.
Just yeah, like, I think Pittsburgh he's interesting. Connection, I think like he's interesting. Depth. He's cheap. Like to me, that's good his advantage.
Go on.
No, that's what I was saying. The one thing about Ruedel is that he's, you know, not that pricey. Savard 3.5 for Savard is just kind of like, Ruedel's 800K this season. Like that's a guy you flip a fifth round pick for, and like that's why I think that could happen, right? Like
upgrade on Friedman, right?
And that's what I mean. You're just looking for an upgrade on Friedman.
That's a good point. I think you need. And again, I know it's not exclusive. If you do one, you can't do the other. But I just look at it and say this team needs winger depth so badly at the top and bottom of the lineup right. that I just, again, and if you don't want to move Willander and you don't want to move Karamäki and you don't want to move Elias Pettersson 2.0, the defenseman, you're not left with much that's going to be able to, you're not going to be able to make three trades. Like I'm setting the over-under on Canucks trades this week at 1.5.
I think that's good.
And I'm going to say they make two. But I don't think they make three.
No, I don't think they make three either.
I mean, don't think they make three trades.
I think they made two. I think.
And they made the Elias Lindholm trade. That's the thing. Like they got their work done early.
Yeah. Key distinction too in those potential trade, the amount, how many players are actually coming back in each trade.
Great
right.
Point.
They could make, you know, two trades and there's four guys total, three guys coming back. So
yeah,
keep that in mind.
Zadorov's played well too. Someone in the chat pointed this out as well.
Rutherford said to me in my story today, he said, listen, he's been great. When he's been on, he's been great.
Yeah.
Right. When he's playing his game, he's great. And bringing Soucy back means that you're using him more of a depth role.
Yes.
You're not leaning on him as much.
Mixing it up last night a lot. Yeah. Frustrating the Kings.
The sheriff.
Yeah. And you know, like I said in our chat, I said, you know, I just love it when he's being a dick.
Oh, it's
know?
Awesome.
It's super fun. And you know he's on it when he's doing those.
And again, you have to do that in the playoffs. You have
100%.
And you need him to do that in the playoffs.
Yeah. Big Zed, not Z.
That's right. Yeah, we were having this conversation. Yeah. Okay. Leslie Jane in the chat.
A lot of Mikheyev questions.
I also should clarify, I'm not having a child. When I said, I'm going to have to talk to you about that, people were like, oh, congrats, Claus. No. Not having a child. One day.
You have Bert.
I have Bert. Yeah, Bert knows.
David, you have a dog.
I do have a dog. It's pretty similar, no?
Exactly.
Let's have this conversation on the podcast. Okay. Leslie Jane, do you think the Canucks will be able to move Mikheyev before the deadline? And what would they have to add to move him? I'm going to answer this question because it's
David's ready.
Well, I'm
waiting all day.
I'm just saying that it depends entirely on what's coming back, right? Because, okay, let's say the Canucks are saying, you know what, Arizona, we would like to dump the Ilya Mikheyev contract. Can we give you a third round pick to get off this money, or second round pick or whatever, right? Because then it's okay. That's one scenario. But is the scenario more like a Kuzmenko-Lindholm trade where they say, okay, you need to take this player back to help us make the money work, because then the trade looks completely different. So if the Canucks are going and just saying, we just need to offload this money, that's one trade. So maybe they say, you know what, we need cap space to make a trade that we like for a player that we like. We're going to have to do it by giving up a second round pick to Arizona, or to insert team name here, doesn't matter, to that team, so that we can, you know, Anthony Beauvillier is a prime example of this. They move Beauvillier, they get a fifth round pick back in return, and then they go out and get Nikita Zadorov in a separate trade. That's how I look at that. So again, there's such a wide range of answers when it comes to Ilya Mikheyev, which is why I just wanted to answer it as swiftly as I could.
Or, I mean, I think the other alternative is, you know, maybe there are people out there who see him as a reclamation project who recognize, yeah, he's 1 year since his surgery. It takes a year.
Yes.
You know, the surely he'll get his wheels back. I mean, obviously it's a big roll of the dice given the 2 years and the salary, the cap hit. It's hard for me to believe that there's no player there at all. And he's been so bad. I just can't believe he's been this bad. And I just can't, I still want to think that there's something else there, but I don't think he's going to be there for the Canucks.
Losing foot races to Cam Fowler. Like that's where we're at. Remember when he signed to make him? Yeah. Oh, look at him beat Connor McDavid in that straight line race.
Yeah.
That's not happening anymore.
Yeah. I remember I posted that clip.
It was a great clip, Grady. You did your job well. That's a good clip. A lot of people in the chat today. Thank you to everybody. We got 336 in the YouTube live chat, and again, over 1,000 in the Twitter chat.
Oh, we're up to almost 1,600 on Twitter.
That's unbelievable. We usually get like 23 on Twitter. Nobody watches the show on Twitter. No, no.
PJ,
does.
Do you refer to it as X or Twitter still?
Well, did you see my headline?
Yeah, you gotta see a story.
Twitter.
I saw the.
It was a great headline.
You can't, and that's why you can't call it X, because I mean, then some people actually had some decent suggestions.
It's silly. Okay. Yeah, Jeremy Lee. I like this.
Did you get a link in bio reply to that?
Of course I did.
Jeremy Lee.
Hold on. Yeah. I just want to throw this out to the chat. Do regular, like non-reporters get link in bio in their replies, or is
yes,
it just
absolutely? You can go look at a random person's tweet.
Okay.
You scroll down to show more replies.
All right. Anyway, carry on. Sorry.
I was gonna
but don't go any farther.
Yeah, I was gonna make a really bad joke.
Do you want some of this? Would you hit it?
Surprise.
sorry, else. Quads. Get back to what you're doing.
This is a good one from 1 Minute Sports.
Yeah.
Ryan Johansson was waived by Philly right after the trade. Any chance Van takes a shot on him?
Mm-mm. No.
Too much money.
Too much money.
And then he's got another year.
Too
right?
slow.
Yeah.
No.
God, there was a guy that had all the tools, you know, pretty fair amount of hype. He had the size and just like he had that 1 year, I think it was like 73 points or something. And it just,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, whether maybe it was Torts or he just never really reached that full potential. Like people are saying, oh, he's the next Getzlaf. Well,
no.
Kind of been that 50, 60 point guy.
I don't know anything about the player, but in the end, you look at the course, you wonder about that killer instinct, and gets off that killer instinct. And I'm not sure Ryan Johansson. I mean, that it's a hard thing to find. And
the pride of Port Moody. He's got his jerseys hung up in some of the breweries.
That is true.
Cody Sievertson, Arch. I send link and bio tweets from my burners to PJ every hour.
Well, Cody had probably the best X version of my headline. X is vexed as Canucks send Bud Colson back to AHL.
That's the best. That means you only got one, because that's the best and worst you've heard.
Pretty good.
Okay. David Shaw. I love this. David Shaw. So much more fun being a buyer. Let's go Army in all capital letters. He puts Army. I like that. We should start calling ourselves that. I like that.
Oh, I got here from one from Matt. Matt on Facebook. I'll pull it up on the screen.
What's preventing the Canucks from pulling a Vegas and planting buyers on LTIR until the end of the season? Did you ask Jim about this? And for those that are joining us a little later, PJ over here had a conversation with your mother.
What's preventing
him?
Exclusive.
Okay. Like, people need to understand this. You need a doctor who's willing to sign off that they're injured forever.
You ever watch Sopranos?
Take out his knees. Well, also, it was like what?
I'm just saying, recovery from certain injuries is known to take a certain amount of time. There have been examples of this, obviously, where teams have pushed the limit and the NHL has been unimpressed. Yeah. The problem is, as far as we can tell,
yes,
Myers' injury is not substantial enough that they're going to lose him for 10 games. Like, guys,
24 days.
And 24 days. Like, they need, like, Myers is having a pretty decent season. He's having a very good season as, like, the number five guy, right? Like, he is better than the alternatives. Is he better? He's better than Noah Juulsen. Come on, let's be clear on that. He's better than Mark Friedman, right?
And people need to ignore the contract. It's not ideal. You would prefer if he was making $2 to $3 million.
Yeah.
But if you can separate that and just accept for what he is at this point in his role, he's been totally fine.
He's been pretty
good.
He was good
in the bubble, too. He was good in the bubble playoffs.
And this is a team that needs to finish first in the conference. And so, sort of the idea of voluntarily, I mean, if by some miracle they pick up some right shot defenseman who is an equivalent, you know, replacement player for him, maybe the story changes. But I think realistically, this is a player that they need in the lineup rather than not, because they need to finish first in the conference.
Yeah.
So even if that were a possibility, and there's no reason to think it is, because that's the thing you have to remember. LT, it's not just this guy, we want to pretend and try to make this guy sit for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
It's that he's out for 10 games. Like that's a lot. Like, that's a substantial injury. 24 days and 10 games.
Yeah. Canucks only have 18 games left.
It's close. I get it. But like, if you're sitting him out, it's not just 10 games. You're sitting him out for 18 games.
Yeah.
You're not using him in the season. You know, Juulsen has had it. We've talked plenty about him. It's been a really great story. Right. But Myers is better than him. And that's that simple.
I'm not going to, I disagree.
The third best defenseman on the team.
And I forgot Carson Soucy exists. I've said it many times. Carson Soucy is the third best defenseman, and man, did he show it last night. But I would disagree that, you know, straight across the board, that Noah Juulsen's worse than Tyler Myers. And I like Tyler Myers a lot.
Yeah, Noah Juulsen can't handle the puck like Tyler Myers can.
That's very fair. I don't think Tyler Myers can defend the rush like Noah Juulsen can. And I also think Noah Juulsen is better in zone defender as well.
Maybe. I don't agree. I think Myers on the whole has been better.
I guess we don't have to hash
it's
this all right. out.
No, it's really not worth it.
I think we can agree to this.
It's not really worth it. It's really all worth it. Well, actually, man. By the way, was it Leslie? Is it Leslie Jane? Had an early on question. I thought Toffoli wasn't being shopped. And like, yes, that means that to be clear, Tom Fitzgerald said, I am not shopping. But he also said, I am still taking calls. He's not hanging up the phone. He is not going around calling teams saying, do you want Tyler Toffoli? But if teams call up and say, I would like Tyler Toffoli, he's not hanging up the phone. So I'm not saying that he will come to Vancouver. In fact, I've already told Dave I would laugh hysterically if he did, because it's absurd that he left in the first place.
Did not want to. Thought he was going to end his career in Vancouver.
Cubs ran out of time. Ran out of time. Yeah. Anyway. Where were we at?
I don't want to start on the Jim Benning train.
No.
I've been.
No. It's history. Forget it. You want Jim Benning? Go to Bilo at Kingsgate Mall.
Okay.
It's true. Sometimes he shops there.
Yeah.
By the way, I've asked the chat who's better, Myers or Juulsen.
Oh boy, so it's gonna get settled.
And I've asked them to ignore the contract.
Oh, good. Okay. Okay. Let's get to this.
Ryan Troy, Marcus Foligno. I agree. That'd be great. Ooh,
I love me some Marcus Foligno. That's a great acquisition.
Yeah.
He also said my boy Lawson Crouse.
Yeah, Lawson Crouse is gonna be expensive though. Like, Arizona likes Lawson Crouse. That's the problem.
I know.
Arizona likes Lawson Crouse like they like not paying rent. Okay, let's get
David Shaw. I agree. If teams are not going to overpay for Gensel, if Canucks are going to overpay for Gensel, why not go off the board and overpay for a player? No teams are not paying for. I totally agree. And I think if anything happens, that is actually what's going to happen. So I'll find someone we haven't talked about really that much. I mean, Riley Smith hasn't been talked about at all.
Oh, Filip Hronek last year, right? Nobody was talking about Filip Hronek. Canucks pull the trigger on that.
Like in the end, it's Alvin that makes the calls, right? Like Rutherford's sort of the guiding hand, but it's Alvin that makes the calls. And Alvin has seen guys that you maybe haven't thought about.
Hell of a shot. Who's better, Juulsen or Pullman? Noah Juulsen's
better.
Trevor,
that's mean.
Noah Juulsen's better. Okay, let's go to... Yeah, this one. I wanted to bring this up. This was something that was reported that the Canucks thought they had a better offer on the table than the one Dallas accepted for Chris Tanev. That one coming from Rick Dollywell over on Donnie and Dolly. And can we pull up the actual trade package that ended up going through, Grady? Because I didn't get it. Oh, that's okay. Well, I asked you, Patrick, to try to figure out what a better trade offer might look like if the Canucks.
It was
like,
hard to imagine because Dallas traded their second rounder.
Yes. Yeah. So just we'll go over the trade. Go over the trade.
Sorry, I got something in the back of my throat, so I'm gonna cough here.
Well, you have no water. We haven't given you water.
As I complained about. Anyway, Dallas traded a second rounder and I forget Russian kid, defenseman. Now and a fourth round or a conditional. Could be a third round.
Yeah.
But really, it's the second rounder and the prospects. I think that's the key here. Canucks don't have a second rounder this year. So either they were trading next year's second rounder, which I think clearly has less value than their second rounder this year, just if you're talking about what the Flames are trying to do. So, you know, you're sitting there going, okay, so maybe they trade their third rounder this year, which is the conditional pick in the Kuzmenko-Lindholm deal. So you're already trading a pick that is conditional, which I'm not even sure you're allowed to do. They don't have a lot to work with. So I'm sitting here going, okay, well, how could they possibly think they have a better deal? So were they going to trade like one of their prospects? Like, I just couldn't figure out who they were talking about, because as far as we know, and Frank mentioned this, I think you talked about the prospects, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As far as we know, like the Canucks really highly value Elias Pettersson, the defenseman. They really highly value, obviously, Tom Wilander, and obviously
Lekkerimäki.
So there's guys they don't really want to move. So you're sitting going, okay, well, what do they don't have a lot left. I mean, there's like, you know, guys who are in Abbotsford, you know, like
Atu Ratu,
you know,
McDonough doesn't have.
I mean, maybe somebody gets excited about Jet Wu, but I'm just not sure.
What about the rights to Truscott? Again, it's not much, maybe, but it's something.
Calgary got excited about Yanni Yermo.
Yeah.
And they also got excited about Artem Grushnikov.
That was the kid. Well,
that's the kid.
The kid that went back.
Yeah, which was just Which, like, the Grushnikov part, I think, is easy to supersede if you're talking about, you know, someone like Elias Pettersson. But I don't think the Canucks want to move him. So, yeah, you're kind of sitting here, is it like Aiden Celebrini? Is it, you know, like, I'm just not sure. It's hard to parse what Calgary wants in all this. So I just found myself kind of stuck. Like, did they, what else could they possibly have been willing to move that in such a, like, maybe they're interested in Kudryavtsev. Like, I think he's actually still an interesting prospect. He's not one we talk a lot about. But, like, it's a lot of long shot kind of stuff. Yeah. So you come back to the pick thing, and it's an interesting thing to say. So were they willing to trade? I mean, I don't think they would have traded next year's first rounder for Tanev, but maybe it was on the table. I don't know. Like, I'm just guessing here, to be clear, everybody.
I would just think that if it was, that Calgary would have taken that.
Right.
And I mean, I guess that's why the Canucks are surprised about it as well.
I think, to me, the key was that second round pick this year. I think that's got to be the difference maker. And you know, because in the end, Dallas, obviously that pick is going to be late 50s, right? Because it's a Dallas pick. You know, to me, that's what you're sitting with and trying to figure out. So I don't doubt Rick's sources on this. It's a different one, difficult one to think
about. Yeah, it's an interesting puzzle to try to put together. Looks like the chat has spoken. They all really like Noah Juulsen more than Tyler.
Well, they're just playing to you.
Yeah, whatever.
You're paying them all off.
That's right. That's what I do.
Quads Army.
Oh, man, we should rebrand. Okay. So David Shaw, we'll end on this one. If Canucks can't land the big player they want, let's say it's Jake Guentzel, what is plan B? Some playoff size and grit. I think that's more like plan C or D. I think, as we said earlier, I still think plan B is in that second tier of like Zucker, Toffoli. That's your plan B. I think the Canucks need to go get two wingers. I think they need to make two trades, and I think it needs to be for two wingers. One top six, one bottom six. You got to go get some of that grit. And hell, I love Marcus Foligno. Yeah. If that's the off-the-board name that we haven't heard, I would be ecstatic if the Canucks go out and get Marcus Foligno.
We'll see. We heard Brandon Duhame. I don't. You know,
Duhame.
As soon as I saw, I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That, you know, fits sort of what they're looking for. You know, the dream, I think, would be Frank Vatrano, but I'm not sure you pull that off. And obviously he's been talked about.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much Anaheim really wants to move him.
Yeah, which is weird. Anaheim might find themselves in that territory that San Jose is in, where they can't decide what they are or what they want to do. Yeah.
I mean, all the names that have been sort of kicked around as the alternatives, like Jason Zucker, you know, I mean, I'm not super excited about the potential of Zucker. But there's certainly guys that are out there. A guy I'd love to see, I'm curious to see what happens, is Kyle. I know Kyle Poso is not nearly the player he was, but I think he's an interesting player. You know, Anthony Duclair's out there. He's still got some, you know, obviously he's only 28. He's got some, you know, he scored 16 goals on a really bad team.
He can fly too.
Harmon really doesn't like Duclair.
Yeah, I know. I'm just sort of going, I'm literally going through Frank's list right now.
Fair enough.
We had thrown around the name Sammy Blais, but
he's
flawed defensively, I think.
Yeah.
Harmon really likes Buchnevich.
I'd love he'd be amazing, but like as Frank just told us, like he's going to be incredibly expensive. I'd like Buchnevich. In fact, I might have been the person who mentioned Buchnevich to to Harmon. And I got one of those, oh, yeah. You know when Harmon gets really excited? About something, very rarely you mention something, he gets very excited. He hasn't actually maybe hadn't even thought about it before.
Usually he's like, oh, yeah, I've watched that player extensively.
But he's like, oh, yeah.
Bushnevich's numbers over the last few years are really impressive.
Yeah.
He's floating just under a point per game.
Yeah.
All right. We'll wrap it up there. Yep. This is a great show. And you're going to be back on Friday. 3 p.m. on Friday.
Post deadline.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know if we're going to be remote. I don't know if we're going to be here.
I thought we were doing it at the rink.
It depends what the Canucks do. We might do it at the rink. Right. We might do it from here. I can't be traveling, you know? I got to lock
in. It's so hard for you.
There's too much stuff going on at Canucks Army. I'm telling you.
Well, you got that office down the way.
Yeah, I do. But it kind of still limits me because I still have to be in a car for an hour. This is why, and I've explained this before, this is why I don't like to travel. The time that I'm in the air, on a plane, something could happen,
That's why they have in-flight Wi-Fi.
That's like $14.
You expense it. Anyway, this is really boring talk for people.
All right, we'll wrap it up.
I'm sure
there.
The 1,700 people that are watching on Twitter.
Yeah, we do have a lot of people. Yeah, we really appreciate it, folks.
Shout out to everyone who took the time today to spend it with us.
Yeah, and hey, spend it with us on Friday as well. We will be live at 3 p.m. Not sure from where, but it'll be you, it'll be me, and it'll be Grady. And it'll be a great episode of Canucks Conversation. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. 2 p.m. Harmon Dial is back in the saddle to preview tomorrow's game against the Vegas Golden Knights. But for now, for my co-host, Patrick Johnson, and our technical producer, Grady Sass, my name is Dave Guglielli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Canucks Conversation. Canucks Conversation with Harmon and Quads brought to you by the Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X's fresh look is just an added bonus to its range since you can drive up to 406 kilometers on a single charge. That's enough to get you from Kitsilano to Whistler or Kamloops to Kelowna and back and still be home in time for the game. Now that's what we'd call electric. The best part, by choosing electric, you can get up to $11,000 in rebates and incentives. The BZ4X are in stock and selling quickly, so make sure to visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer to get your hands on one. Canucks Conversation is live Monday through Friday, every weekday at 2 p.m. over on the Canucks Army YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, and interact in the YouTube live chat every day with us, folks.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.